Press start.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where two friends have joined in a journey of swolification and hope to convince their third friend to join them in the mighty Iron Temple to pray to Broden. As always, the heaviest thing that we lift is not the plates of iron themselves, but our own burden as we lift ourselves to Swolhalla. As always, I am your devout disciple, Zach.
I am your newly converted disciple, Zach.
I'm your heretic, Stephen.
How dare you?
Stephen has chose to join the ranks of the Gaines Goblins.
Let's not get crazy.
Brokey.
He has looked into the evils of cardio.
Let's not get crazy here.
In other news, Sam Wilson and Steve Rogers had a huge fight this weekend. And
the Falcons were dominating
for the first like three quarters of their fight, and then Steve Rogers came over and won in overtime.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Zach making a football joke.
Yeah.
It's new closest, material.
It's the closest he'll ever get.
I feel like so empty on a Sunday now because there's no football to keep an eye on.
Yeah, there is. British soccer, dude.
No one cares about your football soccer.
Your footy. That damn footy.
Tottenham lost yesterday. 2-0.
Good.
It's Liverpool.
Yeah. Damn Falcons. I had it. And then they did nothing for like 30 minutes.
Did you just want to get rid of all proof that you made that joke?
Or? Yeah, I deleted it from the notes right after.
I need to save my material. Should have screenshotted it for evidence. Well,
we can always go back and...
Yeah, see all changes.
Yeah, you can go back and see
Control F5, you know. Or not Control F5.
In other news, speaking of Control, the first Judas Contract trailer came out, and also a Judas Contract preview came out with a flashback of the OG Teen Titans minus Donna Troy.
Still no release date, though.
No. It's up for pre-order.
Yeah, you can pre-order it everywhere. But...
So probably like April or something.
Or later. I mean, if...
It seems like it's already done.
Yeah, these movies have been coming out in like three-month release windows after they finished the previous one.
I mean...
Yeah, we did just get Justice League Dark, which was not that bad, actually.
I enjoyed it.
Heard Constantine was the best part.
He was.
Duh.
Always is.
Matt Ryan.
We'll continue.
Between Constantine and Dead Man.
I didn't like Dead Man's accent too much. It kind of annoyed me.
I liked the Brooklyn Rage accent.
He's supposed to be from Boston, isn't he?
Yeah. Boston brand.
Boston brand from Boston.
It's just like general East Coast.
The New England accent.
Yeah.
But they all have distinct accents.
So what we see, though, in the Judas Contract is Deathstroke is still alive from the end of... Batman versus Robin?
Yeah. No. Yeah, it was Batman.
Son of Batman. Batman versus Robin was the core of the story.
That's right.
So Deathstroke is still alive. He's taking revenge on the Teen Titans. Or Titans.
They're the Teen Titans.
Yeah. So we know
it's the Judas Contract story.
So we're going to see Deathstroke as the main thing. But we also end up seeing Brother Blood pop up in the trailer. And I think Jericho is in the trailer too.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't see
when
anything.
Brother Blood has them all locked up and feeding the dark energy into the blonde, curly-haired, purple-wearing guy. It's like, oh, that has to be Jericho.
I mean, it kind of would make sense, because isn't that kind of Jericho's power set anyway, is control over others' power sets?
Yeah, he can go corporal, to a corporal ghosty form and, like, possess people. But he's also mute.
Yeah.
Jericho was in the trailer.
Okay.
But yeah, we saw Tara too, of course, because she's gonna betray them.
Yeah,
as the story goes,
and we also get the flashback to when the Teen Titans were first starting. You actually see Robin with a yellow cape, freaking Dick Grayson, and then we also see Speedy, actual Speedy,
voiced by the Speedy / Red Arrow from Young Justice.
Insane,
which was dope.
Oh. And Jason Spezak is Wally in that trailer too.
Yep. So Wally,
it was confirmed
Wally.
Yeah, confirmed Wally. Confirmed Speedy. We also see Beast Boy in his Doom Patrol outfit. So I'm like, oh,
like with a little hood and everything.
Yeah, I was like, that's really cool that they're going so far in depth to all these little small Easter eggs.
And it's the Starfire origin of how she joined the Teen Titans. So,
oh, okay.
When she comes down, she's still speaking Tamaranian and
makes out with Robin.
Just max on him. It's like, I learned from kissing people. Cool.
Sure, you do.
You sure do, champ.
All you need is
Bumblebee. Bumblebee was there too.
Yeah. I
forget about Bumblebee sometimes.
I think a lot of people do.
Well, she's making her comeback in Titans right now. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. A lot of people, though, I was looking through the YouTube comments, which is
always a mistake.
Yeah, it's...
They're far more deplorable than the Reddit ones. And one of the big YouTube comments were, if Tara doesn't have sex with Slade in this movie, I'm out. I'm like, what the fuck? What are you...
I'm thinking she's at least maybe, hopefully, 19 in this.
If they do
go down that path, which...
At least they're not referring to them as teen, I guess.
I mean, yeah, 19 is still technically a teenager.
Teen Titans Go? But I'm like, oh, that's gross. And then someone else is like, granted, this person does have a point where the new DCU animated features do take all these really cool classic storylines from the new 52 and previous stories and kind of do their own spin on them. And some of them come out to varying degrees of success. Like, Throne of Atlantis was awesome, but like the Court of Owls story was kind of like, eh. Especially what they did to Calvin Rose, who's supposed to be the Talon that rebels against everyone.
Doesn't he get like off in the first like 10 minutes or something?
No, he's like the main villain.
Was he?
Other than like the love interest chick, spoilers.
But he doesn't really rebel until the end of the story.
Yeah.
And even then, it's just like, all right, fuck you guys, I'm done.
Or how...
Am I thinking of the Nightwing story where What's-His-Face got offed?
I don't know.
I think it was the Nightwing story.
The Bad Blood?
No,
like in the comics.
The actual Nightwing.
Oh, okay. William Cobb? The new 52? Talon?
I think so. He was the main villain in Eternal.
The main villain in Eternal. Oh, Thomas Wayne Jr. Yeah. Supposedly.
Yeah,
allegedly.
That guy. He gets offed
in... Owlman.
Yeah, in Nightwing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of... Sorry, kind of derailing, but the Talon...
What? Never...
In the next arc of Nightwing, William Cobb, you know, Nightwing's great-great-grandfather, who's a Talon, is coming back, and he sets up in Bloodhaven, ends up to Dick to fight him again. I'm like, this is cool. It's a cool reoccurring villain since the New 52.
And some Lazarus Pit effect?
No,
I mean,
he's a Talon.
He's a Talon, so he has, like, regenerative properties.
Okay. Just imagining Dick Grayson taking on an old man.
Oh, no. Looky here, you dick!
Bring it on, Grayson!
See, so we're going to be starting playing D&D together, and I've come up with a character who's just an old man, and he's going to be a reoccurring NPC, and I need to take, like, voice lessons from Steve just to do, like,
his old man voice.
Just emulate Master Roshi. That's what I do.
Fair game. I'll go start watching Dragon Ball immediately.
Just get your pointers. Steve will give you your pointers.
I just gotta get the laugh down first.
Here's your notes for your old man voice. Try these things.
There you go, you're getting it.
Yeah. And other news, Samurai Jack is back, too.
Season 5.
But is he back to the past?
No, it's the future.
He's in the future.
Samurai Jack.
He's gotta get back to the past. Because he has to stop Aku.
Many years ago, I Aku.
Aku.
So, for reference, we were like 10 when Samurai Jack first came out.
Dude, yeah.
Best Tarkovsky cartoon there was.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going full violent.
They're going full Adult Swim on it.
Yeah, it's...
Like, straight up murder. Instead of cutting robots, which was okay for kids back then,
there's actual decapitation.
Human-on-human killing. Yeah.
People are going to die.
Like,
Jack is bleeding in half of the... frames they show him in.
Mm-hmm. And it's really cool that they're actually continuing the story. Like, I know they continue the story in the comics, but they're doing like
it's
a time
literally
skip up.
Yeah, it's literally just season 5.
Yeah, because yeah. I think he said, I don't know if it's like referencing the past, but he's like, it's been 50 years
yeah,
and he still
it's
hasn't
50
aged.
Years.
So he's Logan.
I mean, he looks pretty old.
Old man Jack.
I love Samurai Jack. So when they dropped the season 5 trailer, they did a 24-hour marathon on the Adult Swim Toonami website of just all of Samurai Jack seasons 1-4. And I tuned in. It was like the Scotsman episode.
Oh, I love Scotsman.
And then the next episode was like when Jack broke his sandal. And it's like I have such vivid memories of these shows because I remember I had to stay up so late at night to catch these on Toonami, the After Dark program.
Yep. Well, it's kind of cool. This is like literally marketed towards us. because they know that the people who watched this show growing up are old enough to handle the violence of it now.
Well, and they looked at it and like, look, we know we kind of fucked up with your generation and Powerpuff Girls, so here's Samurai Jack, enjoy. And I will.
Well, it's also like freaking, I found out Ben 10's still going on. And oh, yeah. I legitimately like Ben 10.
They've had like 5 different seasons.
But they rebooted it completely.
How did they reboot it?
It's literally called Ben 10 again. And he's back to being a 10-year-old kid traveling in the summer with Gwen and Grandpa.
Because I know they went like Ben 10, then teenager, stayed teenager, then did a season with teenager and kid Ben. So do they just get rid of teen Ben and go back to kid Ben?
Okay, so it goes Ben 10, then Alien Force, Ultimate Alien. And then
Omniverse,
where he's teamed up with that one plumber kid.
Yeah.
And then they do another season with him teamed up with the plumbers. And now it's Kid Ben again with the Omnitrix, with Grandpa and Gwen.
In the RV.
Sweet. And it's like, they actually don't even use old villains. Like, instead of Charmcaster, it's, like, Charmcaster's grandfather who's the villain now, and he has, like, all of the Lucky Girl charms from Ben 10, and it's, like, okay. What happened? Like, it's still the same teams, but it's very much, like, marketed to kids now, because it's, like, Ben and Gwen attend an EDM concert, and they fight the villain Lord Decibel.
What the fuck?
Why would you do this to my Ben 10?
Also, why the fuck are 10-year-olds at an EDM concert?
Why not?
Do you not know what happens there?
Grandpa Max is there.
People are on acid the whole time.
Yeah, Grandpa Max.
Yeah, Grandpa Max, a huge Diplo fan. Come on.
He's there. He's blazed out of his mind thinking he's seeing aliens everywhere.
Drop the bass.
The whole series is actually him just on acid and imagining these aliens.
Yeah, dude, Stinkfly. Come on. It's weird. Forearms.
Wild Mutt, come on.
Just a side note, if you haven't figured it out yet, we all have a cough, so apologize for that.
I've had a cough for like this past 6 months.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
My cough is eternal.
Cough. Yeah, it's really cool to see all these things slowly being rebooted, which is funny because we did that discussion like 2 weeks ago.
It's all as old as new again.
Yeah.
It kind of bothers me that like all these like stations and like entertainment distributors just cannot come up with new ideas. Like 9 times out of 10.
I can see it as that, but I also see it as people joining this company, like Cartoon Network, and saying, hey, this was influential in my childhood. I want it to be an impact on their childhood, too. So they brought back the Powerpuff Girls. Terribly, I might add. You don't make Blossom and Bubbles twerk with a panda. Jesus Christ, yes, that happened.
I remember seeing like the 2-minute clip of them making a character for an RPG.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like 3 days.
I was like, ah, that's funny.
That's about right.
Yeah, there was one. I don't remember. Like, it's the video of the guy who like has the clock, and he's like, this has to stop. And it's them twerking with a panda. And Jesus Bubbles Christ. Going, oh my god, yas. They did that to the Powerpuff Girls.
And this goes back to what I said yesterday. I'm like, no way. They rebooted Ben 10. Ben 10's not that old, 2005. I'm like, shit, I'm old.
I remember when like the first season of Ben 10 ended and it went to Alien Force. And I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, Alien Force is great.
Kevin Levin?
You're right. To the degree, Kevin's not even in the new show.
Kevin didn't show up like, in Ben 10. Except for 2 episodes.
Like, Samurai Jack is a perfect example. It's not a reboot. They're literally just continuing the story from where they left off, which is great.
For young the people who watched it when it was
Young Justice. Yeah, Young Justice continuing on.
Woo!
Like, okay. If you're going to bring back these shows, at least do a continuation with new stories.
Well, I mean, some things like Powerpuff Girls was always an anthology series. Like, there's never...
I mean, there was kind of an overarching story with Mojo Jojo.
And
like, kind of...
Turning into the Beatles and playing Love Makes the World Go Round.
The Beatles?
Yeah, the Beatles.
Yes.
I remember that episode.
That was
vividly.
A great episode.
Where there were so many Beatles references in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like the sheriff saying, help, we need somebody.
Or you remember the
every piece of dialogue was actually a Beatles song.
Or you remember the episode where they get a new friend and she goes to the professor. It's like, my mommy and daddy didn't mean to have me.
I was an accident,
I was an accident, too. Oh. Okay.
The professor's face in
there
was internally
screen
Powerpuff
Girls mecha that fought the giant
kaiju
in Little Tokyo.
That was freaking awesome.
As you can see, we're also very nostalgic for things that came out when we were children.
But I enjoy them the way they are.
Yeah, it's kind of like, let's leave some things alone, please. You know, even then when we were early 90s, you know, we caught the Thundercats and He-Man.
Oh!
And then, like, He-Man came back in the early 2000s with Masters of the Universe, which is like a dark, gritty version of it.
Which was fucking awesome.
And then Thundercats came back.
Which was also awesome, but got canceled because it didn't sell toys. Bastards of
Cartoon Network. Yeah, it's like, there's a lot of cool things that get irrevocably canceled because toy sales and everything that are meant to be more episodic. But, like, you know,
He-Man, Thundercats, Young Justice.
Yeah, and it's like the longer series.
That's why
things.
It's going to Netflix.
Even Paul Dini, who wrote, what was that live action show when they were in the school?
Oh,
Tower of Avalon? No.
Are you talking about the one where it was like,
it's like the magic school?
Yeah, them, and they'd go to like a different dimension.
Or, I think so.
Hang on, I'll find
it was written by Paul Dini, but he's like, yeah, we got one season and there was no viewership. And then if there's no viewership, no one wants to buy toys of this show. And
so yeah, where it's like they play an MMO.
Hang on,
but
I got
they get
this.
Transported to the MMO world.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I think it might be something else.
Or am I thinking of a different show?
I don't know, but it's like things on Cartoon Network have
seven. No, not the no. 70. No, that's way too early.
It was like,
oh hey, you wrote stuff on Gotham. Fun fact.
Yeah. It was like early 2000s.
And it was
or like around
Cartoon
the same
Network?
Team. Yeah, it was around the same time as
Tower Prep?
Yeah, Tower Prep. That's what it was. It's like a lot of these shows and everything.
Oh shit, you wrote Clone Wars stuff.
Have
too.
To get a lot of viewership on Cartoon Network. Even the same thing, it's like, you know, when Clone Wars even was on Cartoon Network, that show bled money. George Lucas himself put $1 million into every single episode. And by the time season 5 aired, the viewership was so low that they just ended up canceling the series, even though, you know,
and
Dave
cool
Filoni
following.
Was like, yep, all these adult kids aren't watching my show. And we want to tell this Ahsoka story for them, but we can't. Again, clones would be the easiest thing to sell.
Yeah.
But once you have the first series, you literally have all
of
the characters.
You have all of
but I don't know, man. I wish Clone Wars kept going, and it's really cool to see Samurai Jack come back, mm-hmm. having Young Justice come back, and Kari Payne. It's like, yeah, of course I'm coming back as Aqua.
Yeah, I mean, it's not news, but it's good to hear that they got it. He was able to return.
So is Jesse McCartney coming back as Nightwing, or is he going to be too busy with Kingdom Hearts?
What else is he doing?
No, no one's busy with Kingdom Hearts, because it's never fucking coming out. Feel good about yourself
Steve,
bringing that up?
Steve, I'm glad you just accepted reality.
They don't give me any new goddamn news. They gave me 2.8. That was cool. Now where's my 3 news? Because you can't leave me on a goddamn cliffhanger. I'm
telling you, 2.99. It's going to happen.
There are no more games to make a 2.99. They've done it all. They're re-releasing.
They're just
going to
take whatever. They're
going to
take like the first part
it?
Of 3
probably
and release it as 2.99.
Because I'm a glutton for Kingdom Hearts. And I
1.5 and
PS4.
2.5 come with a special Disney pin.
Ooh. Aren't they re-releasing those two as well?
Yeah as one combo disc
with the Disney pin
for $50.
Dude, let me tell you, I learned like the secrets of the Disney pin trade thing from
oh yeah
my
they're
friend
freaking
Brandon.
Nuts
it's insane. Like these pins sell for like $20-$30, and it's like the only way you can get this Kingdom Hearts one is if you buy 1.5 2.5 remix,
pre-order it.
Yeah, pre-order
because
it.
I didn't get the 2.8 pin because I didn't pre-order it, and those sold out instantly.
Yeah, that's freaking nuts.
Insane in the membrane.
Please E3, please have some Kingdom Hearts news.
I want to see some more. I want to see some Borderlands
Jeez,
news.
E3, I want some Kingdom Hearts 3 fucking
E3
news.
E3 is open up to the public for the first time.
Yep. Except they're only selling like
150,000 tickets.
Yeah.
To California. Let's go.
For $150.
Let's go.
And I think those ones are already sold out.
Let's go.
So another $250.
Well, let's go.
Press badge. We're a small time podcast from Colorado that likes video games. We have the equivalent achievement score of this.
Does this matter?
How many trophies do you got? What's a trophy?
How many platinums
like
you got? Platinum? Mm-hmm.
I have 100%. I have like 1,200% games. I actually probably have more, but small details.
I'm trying to think about
another
platinum
feed,
in the game.
We're quite qualified.
My nerd card is quite qualified.
As you can see, my nerd card is punched.
I have all of the Steam achievements for Stardew Valley. What does that do for you?
You may enter.
So is that a yes or
right. I got all the Stardew achievements.
Speaking of,
before it was popular.
There's lots of TV stuff at least.
TV stuff, yeah. So Warren Ellis is going to be working on the Castlevania TV show for Netflix.
Yeah. Which I'm so excited for.
It's going to be fucking metal.
Yeah, and Warren Ellis is like, he does weird stuff really
well. He goes balls to the wall.
Yeah,
and they're going the very first Castlevania 2 with Simon Belmont.
Yeah.
Not skipping ahead to that Alucard shit. Fun fact, it's Dracula backwards. Ooh. I was about to say that.
But Warren Ellis, you know, after, I wonder if anyone has saved him from DC yet with the whole Wildstorm project.
I'm actually kind of interested in Wildstorm now.
I was looking all over the ads. Like, some of the designs and all that. And I'm like,
Grifter?
Yeah, these look fucking awesome.
Well, no one gave a shit about Grifter in the New 52.
The art's all done by John Davis Hunt, who did Clean Room. So I'm like, oh, I'm fucking on for that.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
They stole him.
Yeah, that's what he's been doing now.
Yeah. But Warren Ellis is a phenomenal writer. Like, I've been a Wildstorm follower with the Authority and those characters like that. So it's really cool to see this property brought back. And even so, Warren Ellis writing the Castlevania animated series for Netflix is going to be freaking metal.
Which they've even come out and said it is going to be very brutal. Very, very, very brutal.
Fuck,
which is what Castlevania should be.
I hope it's like...
It's someone on a mission from Christ killing vampires.
It sounds like Helsing. Like, yeah, just pretty much Helsing is what it sounds like they're probably going to take the route of.
Yeah.
And it's Simon Belmont on a mission from Christ to slay demons and vampires.
Is that the first game where he has the whip?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then two, where they made it a whippy whip.
A whippy whip?
Where you're holding it like troops down.
I want my whip back
and forth. I'm going to flail this shit.
Yeah. And then Kelly Sue DeConnick is going to be writing a new NBC series called Redliners, which is an espionage drama that mixes the comedy and romance and often compared to Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And I had
she's been writing a lot of TV recently.
Yeah, she's
recently.
Doing Emerald City right now, which is really fun for there's been so many Wizard of Oz adaptations in the past 5 years, and this one's actually pretty great. Sorry, Zooey Deschanel in Oz, I think it was.
No, Oz was the prison drama. Men getting.
Well, Zooey Deschanel was in the sci-fi version of Wizard of Oz that didn't take off.
There was the Oz movie with James Franco.
Also did not take off.
No. There was The Wiz.
The Wiz is fun. I cannot think of The Wiz anymore without thinking of that the first episode of Always Sunny.
It just makes me wonder if Kelly Sue, since her and Matt Fraction have the whole milk-fed TV production thing, if this is prep for she's getting all this TV experience, so when they eventually get to their shows that they want to do, it's gonna have her ready.
Tin Man was the Zooey Deschanel one.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
I didn't even have to look it up. I remembered it as I was going to IMDb.
Yeah,
it's like, what was it? Ah, Tin Man.
Yeah, it's really good to get all this experience in early, especially like.
At least that's what I think.
I've read Max Landis's production on Dirk Gently, where he is the writer, showrunner, producer, and he's like, "Did you know you have to go to 5 meetings a day about your TV show before it even launches?" I just want to write the TV show, but no, I'm doing everything. I want to kill myself, and I'm like, "Oh, poor Max Landis."
It makes you wonder why some shows turn out the way they do, because the writer has to deal with all the other shit.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, there's always production troubles, Digimon. The second season of Digimon was supposed to go way dark halfway through the series, but the entire writing team left because they started arguing with the higher-ups. Or the same thing with Gundam, where they wanted to kill off the entire main cast instead. But they only were allowed to kill off one character for a certain show.
Digimon went kind of dark.
Yeah.
Getting closer to Malphiotismon and all that. By the way, do you know there's another Digimon series going on right now?
Yeah. Digimon Universe or App or whatever.
Yeah. Apply Monsters.
Not bad.
I'm interested in it. Apparently there's a DS game out there too, but it's only in Japan.
And I think there was a mobile game, or that might have been for Fusion. What do you think, Zach?
Cool.
Did you know the next Digimon movie comes out in 2 weeks?
I forget that those friggin' Triazole movies.
Triazole.
They're pretty much taking the Gundam Unicorn approach, where one episode is an hour long and it comes out every 6 months.
Unicorn was
so I was trippy. So fucking bitter about that. It's like, I had to wait a goddamn year. A goddamn year for the last episode. And now they're redoing it already.
Also, don't forget that Ed Brubaker, trying to get us on topic, has joined the writing staff for Too Old to Die Young, a new animated series from Drive and the Neon Demon director, Nicholas Winding. Too Old to Die Young will explore the criminal underbelly and drug trade in Los Angeles.
So sounds exactly like Brubaker.
Yeah. For anyone that's watched Westworld, Brubaker served as part of the writing team. And then, you know, Kill or Be Killed. Brubaker's just a pro at writing this crime noir style.
Yeah.
And he also wrote one of the most legendary Captain America runs. Mm-hmm. And also did Gotham City Central, which is one of my favorite non-superhero Gotham-based stories.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
Yeah.
To see all these other writers getting different types of exposure other than comic books now. Especially like, you know, the chief creative officer of Archie writing Riverdale has been so awesome. Like, freaking episode 3 was amazing. And we'll hear about that at the end of the episode where Zach and Steve explains Archie.
I've been converted.
Zach, you gotta do it. So good.
I'm trying to catch up on Always Sunny. What do you want from me?
Everything.
I have 11 seasons I have to go through.
Just take a week off. Binge through Always Sunny. That'll take you a couple days. Then catch up on Arrow. Catch up on Flash. Catch up on Riverdale.
Jesus Christ.
And if you take an entire week off, you can watch all episodes of Achievement Hunter Plays Minecraft, which is literally a week's worth of content.
I've already caught up on that, though. Well, I did that a while ago, okay?
All right. So, Overwatch? What about this?
Okay. So, there was an interview with, hang on, Blizzard's president, Mike Morhaime? I think that's how you say his name. He said, quote, "Our plan for next year is to create new hero, new map content, new game modes, and additional events. We've seen very strong engagements with these efforts," and this is reference to Overwatch. "Looking into the future, we also see opportunities in linear media and consumer products. We think that this will help deepen connections with the franchise and also expose Overwatch to new audiences." So what he means by linear medium, which apparently that's a term in the entertainment industry of like TV shows, movies, all that kind of jazz. So we might have an Overwatch TV show in the future.
That'd be cool.
I mean, if it's done by, like, the in-house Blizzard cinematic team, that'd be freaking awesome, because those cinematics are badass, and I love the
production value of it. It's going to be animated, not, like, live-action
scenes. I would hope that it's animated.
I don't know how well it could work if it was, like, partially live-action.
Like, it wouldn't make sense, I think, because, like, it has that distinct style for all the characters. Like, if it's not animated, like...
It has that certain art house vibe to it that couldn't be translated to live action.
Also, if their goal is to, like, oh, hey, there's this show, and there's also a game about it, like...
I can't wait till it's, like, on Cartoon Network, and one of the episodes is Soldier 76 and Reaper trading bodies because of one of Mercy's experiments. Like I said, it depends on how the TV show is going to be aimed.
If there is a TV show.
Overwatch has made so much money because everyone's just sucking dicks over skins. And, you know, again, I am guilty of spending at least $20 every 3 months, maybe, every time there's a new skin event.
Every time there's an event, yeah.
Which I dropped $20 to get loot boxes. Didn't get my Reinhardt skin, but had enough coins to buy them.
There you go.
I'm just missing the Zenyatta skin now.
I got the Wukong skin.
I got the Wukong, I got the two Mays, and then I got Roadhog through boxes. Had to buy Wujing. Still haven't got Zenyatta.
I've been playing Overwatch in 2 weeks. I've been playing Halo.
The event's about to end.
Yeah. Halo's been really fun again.
Which we need to grind out those arcade wins, because I still have two more loot boxes to get from that.
I could probably hop on tomorrow and play. Yeah, it's... Like I said, it'd be really cool.
It's an interesting prospect.
And if anything, I would rather have an Overwatch TV show that's before the series.
Yeah, just there's so much lore in the Overwatch universe they haven't got explored yet that I would love to see. I guess, like, even at the end of the Sombra cinematic, like, I want a follow-up to that cinematic. Like, if that's a whole episode of Zarya trying to track down Sombra and kick her ass... And then Soma revealing that Zarya's hero is
I pray,
a traitor.
Pray if they do that. Zarya says at one point, I must break you.
I must break you.
I must break
you. I am Mother Lasha.
We're being spied on.
What?
Across the way.
Oh.
Don't look.
I throw bears at you.
Who's across the way?
I like her
pajamas. The mom of the kid who has that hoop that's going to get dunked on.
She has some pretty awesome pajamas.
Who brings that weak shit into my house?
Zach's apartment.
Overwatch continues to dominate my life.
And speaking of other TV shows, there is rumor that there is possibly a new Power Rangers TV show that'll... Holy crap, I can't click the link. A new Power Rangers TV show. That's going to be essentially reboot of the original series.
Very fun.
And Adi Shankar is developing this new R-rated series based on the original show.
Oh, it's going to be R-rated.
So
Jesus.
This you news comes from Polygon. He recently talked about Adi Shankar's Dark Power Rangers anime reboot he's working on. According to the report, the show will be influenced by Dragon Ball Z and will reimagine the first three seasons of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It's a complete retelling of the first three seasons, and it's going to be really fucking dark. Darker than any other Power Rangers series.
Oh my god,
is Adi Shankar's. For those who may not be familiar with Shankar, he is known for doing cinematic fan films. Punisher, Dirty Laundry was one of these, which was called the most faithful return of Frank Castle other than Daredevil Season 2. And then he was also the one who did the James Vanderbeek dark, gritty Power Rangers fan film from last year.
Which was pretty dope.
Yeah. And yeah, Adi Shankar is also going to be working on the Castlevania series for Netflix.
Oh, hey, look at that.
Unintentional
connections.
Warren Ellis, yep.
All right. If they do this, they need to bring Bryan Cranston on as Zordon in that as well, and he can go full Heisenberg.
I am the one who
morphs.
Yes.
There you go.
Say my name, Rangers. Zordon, you're goddamn right.
And again, it's kind of cool to see Power Rangers be something again. Like, I went so long for it just being like, the show sucks. And then I'm like slowly diving back in because of all the new stuff. The freaking Power Rangers comic book is one of the best written things right now. Especially with the villain Lord Draken, who's
the green future white ranger.
Yeah, he's the green white ranger, future evil version of Tommy from an alternate dimension. And then Saba and the Sword is back, and then Tommy and Billy have to run away in the Ninja Zords, and I'm like, what?
Hold this up, they got so the cool. Ninja Zords now?
In the future.
Oh, in the future, okay.
Yeah,
I thought they actually like fully introduced them, because I know in like the newest issue, the cover is like the Megazord broken down in a river.
Yeah.
Is it going to be the Ninja Zord? Because if so, I'm going to have to start picking it up.
In issue 12, Billy and Tommy are running away, and then Sabin activates the White Eagle Zord. And I'm like, holy crap. Wait,
what happened to the Thunder Zords?
They're in the alternate evil future where Draken
took over the Thunder Zords.
Well, he destroyed them.
How are you going to destroy the Thunder Zords?
I don't know, man. What do you think, Zach?
Explosions.
But what about the Shogun Megazord?
I don't know. That'd be really cool. The theory right now is that Sabin the Saber is going to try and take them to Ninjor.
You know what also has giant robots?
Gundam?
Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim job?
Yes, Pacific Rim job.
I am Pentecost.
Great Pacific Rim job, Jaeger.
Rest in peace to the one episode of Attack on Titan or Bridge.
So good. It had so much potential.
A bridge on Titan.
But, so this is a lot of, apparently, I mean, it's just an image of John Boyega as Jake Pentecost, but.
Excuse you, John Boyega.
Sorry, my mistake. But I didn't realize that they pretty much retitled in Pacific Rim to Pacific Rim Uprising. It's now a sequel instead of a prequel.
Yeah, it's no longer Maelstrom.
Yeah, it was. Now it's going to be Jake Pentecost is a descendant of Stacker from the first one. And no, I don't know what other plot details there are for it.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out because I think his brother died in like the prequel comic. Or maybe I'm thinking of some other pilot.
Wasn't it his brother because he because Pentecost had to take over a Jaeger by himself.
I remember. Rachel.
When you...
Rachel knows everything about Pacific Rim. Yeah. But they show the new mechs, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's three new Jaegers. None of them are Aaron, but one of them actually looks very similar to Gypsy Danger. So everyone's like, oh, that's going to be Pentecost's.
Probably.
Jaeger.
I'm going to be curious if, like, it's still kind of like a Maelstrom, like what everybody thought Maelstrom was going to be, but they're taking the fight back to the aliens.
The kaiju.
The kaiju.
When does Godzilla come in?
Soon. That's the crossover movie. They're going to have a after credit scene.
Godzilla fights emerging from Jaegers.
The ocean.
So like,
and not the Matthew Broderick Godzilla either. The full-on derpy little T-Rex Godzilla. And then, oh God, what was his little son or nephew's
Godzilla
name?
Jr.
No, it was Godzuki.
Bowser Jr.
It was Godzuki.
Are you talking about the animated version?
No.
No?
Godzuki was in one of the live-action ones.
There's a lot of Godzilla movies that Toho put out.
Well, Lionsgate is actually building a Godzilla universe franchise.
We're trying to.
The Godzilla Cinematic Universe, the GCU.
Yeah, because King Kong is supposed to be in that same universe. Because people are remarking, this King Kong is literally the biggest iteration of all of them. Because, you know, the whole, all right, capture the blonde chick, climb up the tower, won't even feasibly be possible because he is so large in this universe.
I think they're already planning a Godzilla versus King Kong.
Exactly.
Movie.
So the end game is to do those two things.
And then at the very end, Gypsy Danger's going to come out and fight them all.
Yes.
And just with this sword.
And then King Ghidorah's going to come out and they're going to realize, wait, we need to fight King Ghidorah together.
I was going to say, Mothra either Mechagodzilla or Mothra.
Or we can get Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
The one that had one robot head.
What do you think, Zach?
I'm trying to think. What was the one that Godzilla and Mothra had to team up against?
I think that was King themselves. Ghidorah.
Was it Ghidorah?
Because they knew the true battle was friendship.
And then Godzuki showed up again for some reason. Because Godzuki is the best.
Yeah. All right. And then still keeping on about movies. Matt Reeves has been announced as the new director for the Batman movie. His filming credit was Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Which was fucking awesome.
I know. So
I love that movie.
Very much excited.
I'm like, okay, good. And he's also doing War for the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. All of the Planet of the Apes reboot has been like the best thing.
What's weird is
other than James Franco,
I always expected them to be awful. Like the first one was okay, and then I saw Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and I was like, "Holy crap! I did not expect this to be so good." So I'm really excited for
Caesar.
War for the Planet of the Apes.
Okay, so real quick, it was Godzilla, Mothra, and Rodan versus King Ghidorah.
Okay.
Also, some other filming credits that Matt Reeves has is Cloverfield.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm still on board.
Let's see. Couple shows, TV show Felicity.
Yeah, he hasn't done a lot, but everything he has directed, it's been big productions.
Yeah. And then the Batman is listed as one of his credits right now.
Rumored credit.
It drives me crazy how a lot of people are just kind of freaking out about the Batman movie now. And it's like, oh, this is going to be shit. And it's like, it's not even in production. Calm down.
Everybody just wants that drama.
They're finishing the script up right now.
Matt Reeves said he liked the script.
Mm-hmm. Matt Reeves also produced 10 Cloverfield Lane, or he was a producer.
10 Cloverfield Lane is probably one of my favorite movies of last year, too.
Still yet to see it.
Heard it's really
so good.
Yeah, it's a good sign that it's like, okay, it's a good director. We've seen good movies from him, even though he hasn't done a lot. It's like there's good signs here.
Sorry, I'm chewing my Starburst, but I agree.
Ditto.
It's like there's really not much to say, especially with everything that's going on in the cinematic world currently. But, you know, earlier this week of like Batman film has lost director, script being completely rewritten from the beginning, it's like
rumors swirl that Ben Affleck won't be Batman for this movie.
Rumors, entertainment industry, shut up,
the entertainment quote.
Didn't one of the producers on the movie come out and like say, no, the script is not being redone?
Yeah, it calm was on yourselves. Twitter. It's like, yeah, the script is fine. Everyone's happy with it. We're moving forward.
It's like we're just getting minor rewrites right now, and then we're going to move forward.
Yeah, they're probably adding Robin in.
What's your name? Robin.
Fuck Boo. You.
Boo on you.
Does this What's mean? Your name? Tim.
Okay. Who the fuck is Tim?
There we go.
Fuck you!
Can we... Richard Grayson, I like that name.
Can we get Anna Kendrick in here as Stephanie Brown?
What's your name? Dick Grayson. But you're a girl. Yeah.
Look at this dick.
You know what else is gonna stop him? My dick. Grayson.
Hey.
Hi. What was it? Freaking Batman last week when they're all at the fast food shop. Bruce is pissed off and Dick is like... And Duke is like, am I the only Robin that hasn't died?
Am I gonna die?
Everyone's talking about them dying and it's like, oh wait, Tim died like last month, guys. Come on, relax. And Dick's like, well, being a Robin is all about disobeying Batman's rules. Trust me, I started it. And then Duke's like, I'm not a Robin.
Damien and Jason...
They're fighting over a Red Hood action figure. It's the best thing ever.
Can I just get a solo series with Damien and Jason? Just like a six-issue arc.
That's Sons all I want of Batman, rotating team, Peter Tomasi on the first arc, James Tynan on the second arc, Scott Boom. Snyder on the third arc. That's all you need to do.
You see, we got that DCC, new series for you.
Video again, we need to go pitch that to him.
I won't
just
write
it. Just throw this. Just give this idea to some of your writers. Yeah.
Mr. Didio,
I think they'll run with it.
You're welcome.
They'll run with it.
That's all you need to do.
People love the Bat family already. Give us
and
that.
Then like Jason Fabik on art. He's only doing a couple issues here and there. Or Patrick Gleason full time art. You know, Doug Mankey can take over Superman. It's like, please, Sons of Batman. Or Children of Batman.
Something. Bat family. Anything.
Anytime the Bat Boys show up in an issue, I know that's automatically going to be my favorite
issue.
There you
go. There's your title right there. Bat Boys.
Bat Boys. What you gonna do?
Woo!
What you gonna do when they come for you? There we go.
Very
Dustin Nguyen on arts.
Don't tease me with a good time.
Mr. Didio, if you're listening, you're welcome. Checks may be payable to the Z2 podcast or cash.
You can also follow
us
on our
royalties.
YouTube channel. And
we'll take some royalty fees.
Please. All right.
I don't know if we can claim royalties on copyrighted ideas or copyrighted characters.
We can just have free issues for life. You can send those to Hall of Justice Comics in Parker, Colorado. Speaking of other superhero things, though, the Guardians of the Galaxy received a perfect 100 score at Friends and Family test screening.
They claimed it was Friends and Family.
What does that mean?
So, every movie goes through a screening process that they say are for quote-unquote Friends and Family, but it's keeping it a tight-knit group of people who won't leak things. And... it is very, very, very rare that a movie ever gets 100%. Iron Man and Avengers only scored in the high 90s. Deadpool only got a 96. And this one's coming out as 100.
Wow.
And it's funny how James Gunn is like the only director and producer at Marvel that goes away from the MCU house style.
Which is good. I think that's a good sign that if... different movies that can branch away from that storyline.
So someone even said, it's like, hey, James Gunn, why is Guardians of the Galaxy the only movie with like opening script or something like that to showcase the characters? And it's like, because I wrote it that way. And it's like, oh, like he's the only producer and director to ever do something different from everyone else. He has the ensemble team for his first movie rather than, okay, let's a little setup. Okay, a little more setup. Mm-hmm. Ensemble Avengers.
Like, nah, here you go. Here's your team.
Yeah, that's it. And then, like I said, and it's funny too because it's at this point it's easier to count which characters are not going to be in Infinity War because they announced like Mantis will appear in it and it's like, oh, cool. She's finally appearing in a movie though. And it's like, they're really just going balls to the wall with this movie. And it's like, you know, it's probably going to be the MCU TV characters that aren't going to show up.
Probably.
But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Coulson needs to come back.
Quake. She'll represent the Inhumans.
I don't give a shit about anybody else in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I want Coulson to make an appearance in Infinity War.
Is he still on the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I just never see him, like, advertise on the show anymore.
And then Will Arnett's the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. now. Batman's the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's all a clever ploy.
Which, quick side note on Infinity War, they actually released a teaser of them filming on set.
And, like the first day of filming.
Yeah, like, and they interviewed, like, they just had a group of Robert Downey Jr., Tom Holland, and Chris Pine.
Chris Pratt. Excuse you.
The other Chris.
DC has Chris Pine.
Or do they?
Get your Chris's right.
Have you ever seen the picture of, like, all white men look alike, and it's Chris Pratt, Chris Pine, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans? And it's like, oh, wow, they all do look alike, and they're all white guys named Chris.
So at the very least, we know we're getting Iron Man, Spider-Man, and Star-Lord.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
100%. We also get Wong. Yes.
Character we all wanted.
It's going to be interesting to see how they handle Infinity War.
Beyonce jokes. She won't be relevant anymore.
No.
Beyonce's always relevant. That's the joke.
That's the joke.
Why do you think she has twins now? She'd be relevant again.
She's double relevant.
Yep.
It's like Beyonce invented twins. Sorry. Everyone freaked the fuck out.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, she's pregnant. Cool. She's got twins. What?
Oh, shit.
And she did a photo shoot with a baby belly. What? Who cares?
Beyonce.
People who revere
followers of
Beyonce's
queen.
Beyonce, Jay-Z, and their family can be happy. Who else should give a shit? No one else.
I don't know. The Rooster Teeth fandom's really excited about the Lindsay Jones and Michael Jones baby.
Taylor Jones!
But are they making this big of a spectacle about it?
No.
No. Because nothing is ever as big as Beyonce.
Speaking of Beyonce.
The Queen Bee.
Marvel is, the rumor is at the latest Marvel Summit is that they are going back to basics.
So they're taking
meaning
the
a lot
DC
of their
approach.
Legacy characters are gonna revert, and then their current characters are reverting in the fall. And kind of goes along with our discussion last week of how Secret Empire may indeed be their version of Rebirth.
Are people actually listening to us?
Tim, are you there? Tim's our man.
Brian? Brian, is it you?
They planned this all along because there's that Ultron panel in Civil War 2. The Avengers are reverting.
Do we have to have another Ultron event?
So, Bleeding
Reverting!
Cool leaked a rumor saying that DC's success of Rebirth is fundamentally a back-to-basics approach that focuses in on a relationship between core characters, rather than the angst-filled comics that DC has been focusing on ever since Alan Moore's Watchmen.
Excuse you?
Angst-filled?
According to Bleeding Cool, Marvel's response will be to change the focus of their stories. Marvel will dial back on its famous legacy heroes and instead focus in on core characters like Iron Man or Thor, who have been around for years. Where long-term fans find the current status quo pretty much unrecognizable, this new approach will see the Marvel Universe take on a much more familiar shape. Legacy heroes will still be around, but they won't be the centerpiece of everything Marvel's doing as they currently are. So goodbye, Miles Morales. See ya, Kamala. Oh, sorry, Riri. You've been a big deal for the past few months, but meh. Jane, who knows what the fuck is going on with you anyways?
Do not fucking touch my champions.
Sam?
Oh, he's back in his spandex with his hawk.
Or the other Sam. You know, have Nova. It's like, yeah, Richard took my helmet.
Also, can we back up a sec? Angst-filled? What the fuck? Are you just bitter because DC's crushing you right now?
But they're all dark and moody.
Well, this is moviepilot.com's representation of that. I don't know. The New 52 wasn't really too angsty.
Rebirth, not that angsty. How dare they deal with real
they
world issues?
They brought back the love into the DC universe. That's what Rebirth did. Yeah. That's what Wally said Dr. Manhattan stole. in Rebirth Special Issue Number 1. They took the love of the world. And now Mera and Aquaman are getting married, and I'm going to cry.
And Wally and potentially Linda are going to go on a date sometime soon.
And Dick and Barbara are...
Roy and Donna might be somewhere. A thing.
And Ollie and Dinah are back together in true love fashion.
And even Tom King says Dick and Barbara are endgame.
Yes.
All of the Batman writers agree on the fact that Dick and Barbara are endgame.
There's just an altar of them together. They pray.
And then there's Bruce Tim in the corner like, no, Bruce, Barbara, forever. I'm just like, what, can we stop? Everyone's just like side-eyeing. I'm like, Bruce, you okay over there?
Bruce Tim.
There's a little ring drawn. Like, you can go sit in your little corner.
This is us. That's you.
Tim Seeley and Tom King said Dick Babs is canon. We let it be. Even though I really like this cool thing that they're going on with Nightwing and Sean saying,
yeah,
you know, hero and former villain. It's his own Catwoman relationship.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not going to work because she has blue hair and not red.
And this Babs is fact. Life.
Well, Babs is maybe dating Penguin's kid.
Probably not. Know. It probably
that'll fail too because they can't work it out.
I mean, it's Penguin's kid.
Yeah,
like,
because Penguin's kid, she's a hero.
She already explained that she's doing it as a ploy. It's like, let's figure out what the fuck he's doing.
But maybe she'll truly fall in love with him and learn the truth behind him. But then Dick will come in and punch him in the face and be like, you're mine.
We never finished that date.
Watch fireworks together. Fireworks!
We here at the Z2 Podcast would also like to mention that we enjoy the Dick and Barbara ship. While the Dick and Corey ship has its merits, Dick and Barbara. For life.
Bing! Amen.
Speaking of Dick and Barbara, Kevin Smith is working on a new Jay and Silent Bob movie.
I mean, that does kind of work because, you know, Dick, you got the cock knocker. Jay by Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
Played by the illustrious Mark Hamill.
This is kind of cool. Like, my first exposure to Jay and Silent Bob was, like, in a Star Wars comic on Dark Horse before I actually watched any of the movies.
I've never actually seen any of the movies, to be honest. I just know the characters.
Clerks is good. Haven't seen Clerks 2 yet, actually, which I need to. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is fucking amazing. You got Ben Affleck, who helps them find out who's been trashing on the internet while making a Good Will Hunting 2 hunting season. And then Jay and Silent Bob, the movie, Blunt Man and Chronic, where the villain is the cock knocker. Again, played by Mark Hamill, which was the greatest introduction ever, where it just pops up with cock knocker. Look, kids, it's Mark Hamill.
Everything Kevin Smith has done in the past few years has been absolutely incredible. So,
oh, and the greatest nickname for a woman ever, Boo Boo Kitty Fuck.
God. Kevin Smith is great, guys.
He's something. Tusk was weird.
I just like that when he was in town recently for, like, a comedy event, he just hung out at Mile High Comics and people just randomly found him and all took selfies with him. And we're looking in our comic book group. And it's like, where are all these people meeting Kevin Smith at?
Where is he?
Also, the greatest line from a movie ever. Hey, ladies, you ever get your butthole licked by a man in an overcoat?
Reminds me of high school.
Sorry, fat man in an overcoat. Smith, ladies and gentlemen, the muse of our times.
Yep, directed Runaway Dinosaur, one of the best episodes of Flash.
There he goes from Chance on the Bob to the most beautiful episode of Flash ever.
The one where everyone cried.
I was crying. You were crying.
These aren't tears. It's sweat from my eyes.
Like, yeah, an emotional reading with his mom. She read him his childhood book,
Speed Force.
I'm not crying.
I really like in the latest episode of Legends, they literally end a mystery in comment saying, yeah, it's just a Speed Force thing. And it's like, yep, that's the only way you can explain that.
Yep.
Well, yeah, because Eobard Thawne's around, but Eddie killed himself, but Eobard still exists, and now Black Flash wants to get him because he exists, and there's a Speed Force that shouldn't exist because Speed Force.
Speed Force.
So when did the Rogues show up?
Mick is around. Well, Reverse Flash is the villain in Legends of Tomorrow.
He started the Legion of Doom, which I loved how they introduced the Legion of Doom name, where it was still like, yeah, I heard it from an old cartoon when I was a child.
Yeah.
the Super Friends. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Doom.
It's just some swamp. Meanwhile, in the tool shed. Okay, Zach, tell us about this Mass Effect thing.
Steve will tell you about this
Mass Effect. Yeah, I didn't actually put that on there.
So the devs came out and said that they are getting rid of the classic Mass Effect trope of Paragon and Renegade.
But Renegade for life.
Renegade
for life. Dragon Age already got rid of it.
Dragon Age never had it.
Yeah, they never had the Paragon Renegade system. But so they want conversations to be more fluid instead of, all right, I'm going to go for a Paragon play. So every conversation, and I'm just going to hold my thumbstick to the right and click the Paragon option.
Okay.
Instead, it's going to be, all right, what do I want to pick here? What like, do I want to add to this conversation to move it along?
And like I said, it's the same thing that Dragon Age does, where you have your choice wheel, and it's just like different emotions, and you don't know how characters are going to react. I'm going to make fun of the Chantry now. Oh, Cassandra, please don't hate me.
Which I like, because, again, when you're like, all right, I'm going to go a Renegade option, just pick the left option for everything instead of, all right, how will people react to this decision?
Punch the reporter.
Always
punch a reporter.
Always.
No matter what.
That bitch.
I'm tired of your disingenuous accusations.
So, Zach, I feel like this affects you the most. Because,
and I guess I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the Renegade and
Paragon. It was always like those, like, yeah, I'm a Renegade right now. Yeah,
especially in 2, where it actually affected you.
Yeah, because there were certain, like, decisions. Like,
yeah, you had the biotics in you that if you went Renegade, you'd see, like,
it'd start to wear on your face.
It'd turn red. Your eyes would go a little red.
You become a Sith Lord, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, if you go, you let the darkness consume you.
But then there are things that relied on the Paragon and Renegade system, like your intimidation. Mm-hmm. You had to be, you know, so much Renegade to be able to unlock the rest of the intimidation.
Like, that was the whole point of it, was like you get certain dialogue options based on your levels of Paragon.
See, and that's why I like how Dragon Age did their system. Because you could either intimidate someone or persuade someone.
And there was persuasion, well, but I mean, had to have your Paragon up.
Yeah. Okay.
For that. But I enjoy, like, because there were sometimes in Inquisition where I'd sit there and look at, like, 2 dialogue options. Like, all right, if I say that, this group is going to get pissed off. But if I say that, this person might get pissed off. Maybe.
Do piss off with the group. One?
Or, oh, yeah, I don't know, the group.
Werewolves did nothing wrong.
But I'm interested to see, you know, how it opens up the dialogue options again. Word. Instead of going, all right, I want things to go nice with this, so I'm just going to automatically select the Paragon option.
Okay.
We're a month off from the game.
I still need to pre-order
it. Very close.
You know what else we're a month away from? The Power Rangers movie.
God damn it. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. We're going to go see it together.
I mean, this is going to be like...
As a family. You'll sit in between the both of us and you'll hear us squeal.
You're just bouncing. I'm just like...
or when they mention, you know, maybe Aqua Tar. I'm like...
Zach, what do you think that movie needed? More Darth Vader and Stormtroopers. Thank you, Finn.
For our new meme.
Yes.
We should tell John that his kid's going to become a new meme for us now.
I don't know. What else has become a meme? Love Actually. Ant-Man.
Kingdom Hearts 3 coming out.
Steve, do you want to save Champions for a rec, or do you want to bring it up now?
I want to bring it up now because it's not really my recommendation. Champions is really fucking hard hitting right now.
Was it the racist episode?
Yep.
Or
episode.
Yeah, like when the first issue of Champions came out, it was cool, you know.
Racism. But not racist. Yeah, no.
It dealt with racism, bigotry. Essentially, it starts with them saving people from a mosque in a smaller southern town, which from that description alone you can infer some of them are racist.
Alabama.
I'd say Alabama, Louisiana area down there by the bayou.
There it is.
But it starts with them saving people from a mosque and the sheriff, you know, other people of the police force want to go in and help the champions get the people out of the mosque, but the sheriff, who is incredibly racist, is sitting there like, nah, you know what they are. We're going to leave them. Okay, starting off strong, champions. Good start.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no, don't worry. It gets worse.
But wait, there's more.
So Viv finds a bomb, or the remnants of a bomb, and the sheriff's like, all right, we're going to take that into evidence and do some investigation. Viv says, fuck no. Like, I'm pretty sure you did this, because Viv is straightforward and awesome. And they go into, you know, how the sheriff has not prevented hate crimes in this town, like graffiti on certain mosques, brutal beatings outside of a gay club in the town, and just the list goes on. And then it gets to the point where, you know, this is the issue where Gwenpool shows up. So, again, I did not take it seriously at the beginning, because yeah, Gwenpool shows up and she's like, I'm going to be part of the champions. Like, these people aren't, like, these people are aliens, and, like, this guy's a super Skrull, and, like, they can't, they have to be because they're that evil, and, you know, got to the real truth of people don't have to be villains to be bad people.
Sometimes when you're a bad guy, you're a bad guy.
But Kamala, you know, Kamala gets deep in, so they're just bad people. There are bad people in this world, and you have to do your best to stop them. And, you know, it comes, you know, shockingly, the sheriff did plant the bomb. Ooh. It was confiscated, and Viv looked in their records and saw that the sheriff confiscated the bomb, and the sheriff comes in, and boy, howdy.
Oh, because he's Southern, got it.
Boy, howdy. So he comes in after the champions leave and be like, I want you, he's telling his deputy, he's like, run the champions out of town. I don't want them here anymore. And throws out some racial slurs. Like sand, word I'm not allowed to say. Or Asian looking, word I'm not allowed to say.
Chink? Sorry, I'm Asian.
Potentially, it was...
it was a blacked out.
Yeah, it was redacted. Oh. As was the other word I'm not allowed to say. And...
what about cracker?
That one was not in there.
Are you allowed to say that one?
That one I can say, because... okay. But I don't, because...
what about nerf herder?
That is our word. But, you know, it... and the champions give the deputy a speech like, you need to come clean, you need to tell people what's wrong with this. And it's like, I can't, he's a popular person, he has some sway with people. And then deputy comes out and says, you know what, fuck it, goes out with a loud horn. It's like, I'm gonna tell you guys the truth, sheriff's a piece of shit. And then it ends with the champions jumping down because they're going to have to help control the riot that's about to happen.
Oh.
And it's really hard-hitting because they're tackling actual issues in today's world.
Yeah.
Like, actual full-on issues of racism, bigotry, just general discrimination. And they handle it so well. And everyone needs to be reading this.
That's pretty sweet.
It has the
Gwen Pool. That's what Marvel actually wants to get rid of right now. Yeah. With the going back
that's
to basics.
That's why they better not fucking touch it, because it is one of the best Marvel series out there.
Whoa. So you're telling me that people can learn something from comics and what?
They have meaning? They're not just pretty pictures?
All right. I'm going to get a little political here. You can learn more from champions than you can from the news right now. They will teach you more about society and how to deal with things than certain news outlets.
Certain news outlets, yes.
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 Also, if you're ever interested in politics, Kind of Funny has some of the best, most interesting, engaging.
It's the first talks. Political talk that I heard or I listened to that I didn't actually get angry at.
Zach actually flies into your rage anytime politics gets brought up,
because people will just like people want those one little, they read one line headlines,
yeah, for fuck Marvel
for clickbait, and then that's all they go off of.
Fuck Marvel, you never believe what they're doing now.
I'm just the controversy that came out with A Dog's Purpose,
yeah, which is fake,
yeah, turns out. Two completely different clips
yeah.
that they put together to make it look like it was bad.
What?
Shockingly. No
way. The whole point of the movie was to promote adoption.
When the dog didn't want to go into the water, guess what? They didn't force him to go into the water. They pulled him off and did it another day. And when he went completely submerged, they pulled him out immediately and put him in a tent and had him examined to make sure the dog was okay.
Wow.
Weird how... some people saw one little video and jumped to so many conclusions about, fuck this movie, I'm going to boycott it.
Everything's boycotted now.
Yeah. Really, the only thing I'm not going to watch that movie is because I know I'm going to
ugly
cry.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to be sad. Yeah. Because one of the dog's reincarnations is a fucking corgi. And a golden lab, and a golden shepherd, which had two of those dogs. want the third. Fuck you, movie.
So is this the new movie night where we're just all gonna cry? Not cry, ugly cry.
Just an audio snot.
I barely made it through I Am Legend. You think I'm gonna watch a dog die 15 times?
Yeah, it's next time it's clickbait, and the whole movie was. It's upsetting because the whole movie was to promote adoption for dogs.
Yeah, it's supposed to be about a dog's purpose, about how they unconditionally love you, so you should unconditionally love them.
They're just good dogs.
Stop, they're good dogs. Okay. So
rant over.
This week on Zach and Steve. So I finally got Steve to watch it.
It's so good.
It is good. This episode's about slut shaming.
Oh my God.
I got two episodes in and I care about the characters so much. Like I'm sitting there as, you know, Archie and Jughead are fighting, and I'm like, no, Archie, don't fight with Jughead. He's your friend.
Don't do that to Juggy. Did you watch episode 3?
I did watch episode 3, which, so, real quick, I want to point out, I fucking love the little aesthetic on Jughead with his beanie.
Yeah.
They kept his crown in the form of a beanie. I was wondering how that was going to work.
Bravo.
And then they incorporated it into a fucking beanie.
They don't have the S on the shirt, though.
They don't, but, you know, that's
small details.
What's the S for?
He got the crown.
Doesn't matter. That's what the S stands for.
Anywho, episode 3. So good. Veronica going scorched earth is the best thing ever.
Goes on a date with a football player, right? And then the football player later posts a picture on social media
of her getting a sticky maple.
Yeah, a sticky maple, which is just maple syrup on her face. That, you know, he probably printed the picture out and did that. And then Veronica's like, fuck this!
Yeah, she's
revenge!
She went on a rampage. She goes from talking to Betty, and I can't remember his name. Gay best friend.
Kevin.
She's like, uh-oh, this isn't going to stand. Goes into the boys' locker room, right up to the football player. And is like, you cannot do this shit. Take it down now. And when he says no, she goes full scorched earth.
Betty wants to do this.
She wants to do an expose.
She wants to do this the Paragon way. She's like, let's go tell the principal. Like, let's do an expose on this.
Because she restarted the school newspaper.
Veronica's full renegade.
And Veronica is full renegade.
Oh, yeah, full renegade.
It's like definite blue Oni, red Oni kind of deal. And so they find out, it's like, okay, let's trick them into... And they learn from another group of women that this has all happened to them before.
Yeah, there's
including the girl who played Barb from Stranger Things.
I forgot she was in that show.
Yeah, she's Ethel. And literally the end of the episode is hashtag justice for Ethel. And I'm like,
my God.
Oh, pop culture.
But yeah, it turns out that the football players have a competition.
It's a playbook.
They have a playbook where they write down all the girls that they've done things with and give it a point system. And, you know, you got Cheryl who comes in, says, nah, Jason wasn't a part of this. He's a good person. Calls the other girls sluts, which... Bad move in front of Veronica, because Veronica threatens scorched earth on her, too. It's like, I'm going to take these football players down. If you want to get caught in the backdraft, call them sluts one more time. I dare you. I'm like, yeah!
And the only thing, she's like, Jason would never do this. I know my brother. And then she finds out, yeah. Jason did
Fun
it,
fact,
too.
Jason did it with Polly, Betty's sister, which drove her into, you know, the... Not insane asylum,
group house.
But
this is like you're just like, this is straight up like high school drama, yeah. Like gossip. And then Betty did this, and then Veronica said, "Fuck that!" No.
And then Betty went full fucking
Holy
psycho.
Shit!
Like Betty went from full paragon to beyond renegade
to the point
after seeing that book, where she put on a wig to look like her sister Polly, and then fully mentally broke down when confronting the football player, calling him Jason, and be like. Admit what you did to me. Admit what you did to me.
And
thinking
she
was
has
Polly.
The football player in the hot tub, turning on the heat, wearing her stilettos, pushing his face down into it.
After slipping a muscle relaxer into his drink,
Jesus Christ.
He'd be more ample to tell the truth.
It's really intense, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, if Betty does this because of the thing that happened to Polly, what's she gonna do to Miss Grundy?
Well,
after.
And apparently, don't know if it actually happened, but apparently,
it's in the preview trailer.
Well, no, Betty blacked out during the whole Polly Jason thing, so she fully snapped there. And then, goddamn, Archie went back to Ms. Grundy because he helped Josie and the Pussycats write a song, and his dad talked to Ms. Grundy,
Just like, being the Pussycats.
And, yes. You know, Miss Grundy's like, yeah, he's got real talent. So Archie's dad being the coolest dad ever, hashtag Luke Perry is awesome dad, soundproofs the garage so Archie can work on his music.
Which is where the actual Archies in the comic do all their music.
And then he goes back to Miss Grundy and they start macking again.
And Jughead sees them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, well, no, Jughead doesn't see them.
Not this time. But so that's Betty. Okay, it's really amazing that Archie feels like a supporting character in his own universe. Like, B&B I care life. So much more about the Jughead, Veronica, and Jughead storyline. And, you know, Veronica and Betty deserve each other so much.
And I actually sympathize with Cheryl a little bit in this episode.
Yeah.
She went from totally fuck this bitch, she's crazy, to... I don't know, I feel kind of bad for you.
So, in episode 2, Cheryl's like, arrest me. I am implicated in Jason's disappearance.
At the very end, it's like, you're here for me.
Wait, at least Jason, they talked to Jason. Is Jason
Jason's
dead? No, Jason's dead.
Wait, what?
So Betty was projecting Jason onto the football player.
Oh.
Yeah, she was pretending to be Polly and then calling him Jason, saying, admit to what you did with me was wrong.
Gotcha.
Because some other shit about her came out and Jason... Mm-hmm. But yeah, they found Jason's body, and you know, he was dead a week after the 4th of July when he went missing. And Cheryl, being overdramatic, was, I'm guilty, because they had a plan that Jason was going to escape Riverdale and just disappear, be gone long enough that his parents couldn't come after them anymore. And that's what she was guilty of not telling him the plan.
And she heard the gunshot, and Archie heard
the
gunshot.
So Jason's not dead.
Jason
he's
is dead.
He's super dead.
Yeah, bullet through the head.
Oh.
They found his body.
But turns out the gunshot was the Woodland Scouts. Like the Cub Scouts. Who, they were the ones who found Cheryl on the side of the river after the whole incident. It was one of the Woodland Scouts firing the
this
gun.
This is Jughead's plot for the episode.
Yeah, as him getting to the bottom of the gunshot. Turns out the Woodland Scout was teaching... other kids how to
defend themselves
shoot a gun. Jeez. Which he shouldn't have been, which is what leads to the cliffhanger at the very end of Jughead and Betty talking to the Woodland Scout, and he's like, all right, leave the gunshot out because that will get me kicked out of the scouts and will give me a misdemeanor. What if I give you a better story? So they're sitting there like, all right, we're listening. I saw Ms. Grundy's car over by the river on July 4th,
where she and Archie were banging. And Archie admitted to being there.
Yeah, he admitted there being there with his dog. And he did. He left Miss Grundy out to protect her. But now, Betty and Jughead know that Miss Grundy was down there by the river.
Down there by the river.
Which was where Archie was, but he was by himself.
So, like I said, it's really interesting that like Archie's
it's
his
like a
own
murder
supporting
mystery.
Character.
It's
and
amazing.
What's amazing too is that every episode that's come out so far is named after a teen noir drama.
Huh.
So the next episode is called Body Double, which is based off of an old movie, and we learn that Miss Grundy may not appear who she is. That
the
may...
real Genevieve Grundy died.
Old Miss Grundy.
Old Miss Grundy. Died like 20 years ago or something like that. Died a while back. So now we need to learn the mystery of who is this Genevieve Grundy?
Who Archie am I? Is so fucking good.
If you told me that I would love...
I did tell
no,
you.
No, before it even started, before it was even a thing, if you told me that I would love a murder mystery drama... based on the Archie comics, I would have told you you're fucking crazy. But it's so good.
So good.
So good. I care for these characters after 2 episodes. And third, I'm sitting there cheering Betty and Veronica on. Because they're going to get revenge for all the girls who are slut-shamed.
Hashtag justice for Ethel. Played by Barb.
There was a great gif I saw of Barb like floating out of the pool.
Yes.
So great.
Season 2 of Stranger Things is going to be about the disappearance of Barb.
Barb is going to be going to enact her revenge.
Still need to finish season 1. I'm like on episode 7.
Justice for Barb.
Go watch Riverdale. It's so good.
It's been really entertaining. The Jughead story about the death of Jason has been really awesome. Betty and Veronica going on a warpath. I love the fact that they're besties and they're not fighting over Archie. Archie's like... distant thought. But seriously, Riverdale, this episode is about slut shaming. And then there's also the B plot with Archie doing music with Josie and the Pussycats. And Josie even goes, it's like, you don't understand what it's like to be a black musician. Like, we have to work hard for everything while you get to walk in there anywhere where we have to walk hard for. My mother is the mayor and she still gets hate mail about being a black woman. I'm like, holy shit, this hits deep. This is so CW, but this is so good.
And then Luke Perry is Papa Archie. He's amazing. Luke Perry from Beverly Hills 90210 is best dad ever.
Allegedly.
Allegedly best dad ever. So far, in Riverdale, best dad. He is best Riverdale dad.
Yeah.
Well, which one is best girl?
Betty and Veronica together.
Yeah, them just as the one. Pair. B and V together.
And it's funny because it's like, you know, Archie can solve all of his problems just by being a polygamous relationship. they won't share. Betty and Veronica have made out already. Who knows? We all saw the way Veronica looked at Betty in the black lingerie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Polly.
She'd tap it.
Quote unquote.
Also, if you ever told me that Cody from The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody would be a fucking awesome character as Jughead Jones, I would have said you're crazy too.
Yeah. And you're like, isn't Jughead, it might have been Zack, but I was like, isn't Jughead supposed to be like this doofy dude? I'm like, no, but he's like this journalist. He's like the narrator for every episode. It's awesome. Is that the door?
I don't know. The door down the hall.
Okay. All right. We got to be quick. So maybe just do recommendations and then kill it.
Sure. Let's save the discussion for next week.
Yeah. We have other plans today. So sorry we can't do a 2-hour podcast. So recommendations this week. I would like to recommend what came out this week. I like to recommend Steve go first.
I'm still deciding between two, so Zach go first.
Fuck both of you.
You actually put what you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Well, that was a side note in addition to my comic recommendation. My comic recommendation actually is Red Hood, because as we were talking about it yesterday, Zach, it's literally Of Mice and Men.
Yeah.
All right, my decision's made for me now then.
Like, holy crap. But like, what we were even talking about is like, what did Scott Lobdell do to make Red Hood so good now? Like,
it's like
a fucking mystery to me.
It's like Riverdale. I'm reading this and I'm like, I feel for these characters.
Like Jason, I think it's the fact that he's like, all right, the whole Jason, like, who am I? Like, I'm an outlaw. But
who am I?
Now he's just like, he's doing his own thing. He finally had his heart to heart with Bruce. And now he's like, all right, I understand where my place is amongst Batman's family. I'm going to be this linchpin in the criminal underworld for him and take out these people in Batman's way, but also my own way.
I'm going to do the things that Batman can't.
Yes, exactly. And it's working. Like, it's a super good story. And the whole Bizarro of My Cement thing is so...
I love Bizarro so much.
Yeah.
It was like, read him, my only friend. Also read her. And pop.
Red saved me.
Yeah. I love Red him and Red.
Can we stay longer? The entire time. It's like, do I kill him or not?
He has a kryptonite bullet to his head. He's
loading it in there while Bizarro's looking off into
giving
the sunset.
Giving them this beautiful monologue. Yeah.
And as they're about to leave, I'm like, can we stay here? Bizarro like this here. I'm like, oh, Bizarro.
Just think about the rabbits, Bizarro.
I was afraid that we were going to get like Jason be like, just look at the flowers, Bizarro.
Like, no. We're going to live off the fat of the land.
Oh, yep. Don't look at the flowers, Bizarro.
Yeah, like literally all of the Reddit comments. Every time a new issue of Red Hood comes out, it's usually in the top. It's on the front page of the DC or comic book subreddit. And literally all of the comics were like, holy shit, this is Of Mice and Men. Up to the 11. And this is the most beautiful thing. And like some of the other comments, it's like, think about the rabbits, Bizarro. And God, I had to explain to you like what Of Mice and Men was.
Because I've never actually read it.
And it's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
That's exactly what it is. But then, yeah. So, yeah, Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 7, was just, God, it's so good. I don't understand it, but it makes me happy.
Like, I fully was not expecting an Of Mice and Men thing when the title is a reference to The Sound of Music. How do you handle a problem like Bizarro?
Oh, yeah.
There was a song called How Do You Handle a Problem Like Maria?
How Do You Handle a Problem Like Lenny?
Yeah. And then my other recommendation is Witcher 3.
Good game.
Yes, I know it's 2 years old, but I don't care because I'm finally getting around to it. Because
there are people who probably still haven't finished the story, Steven.
Yep. Yes. Yes, Steve. Yes.
I have 5 days in that game.
I have 10 hours, and I've completed.
Just getting to the third island.
I've completed 3 story missions.
Mm-hmm. That's The Witcher for you.
But it's so good. Like, I get so immersed into it. Like, Geralt's a really cool protagonist you get to play, just because it's like, okay, you can be this noble guy, but he still gets treated like shit, and you can tell that he doesn't give a shit.
Well, because he's still. He's not a full human, which is...
Yeah, he's people view him as a monster.
Yeah, anti anything that's not full human. You know, they hate mages.
They hate dwarves.
Witchers to a degree. They hate dwarves. They hate...
Some people hate dwarves.
Yeah, anything that's not a human in certain cities.
Yeah, but it's like... I was talking to our friend Robert about it, because he's played a bit of it, too.
He's beat the whole story.
Yeah, he's like... Witcher's, like, he said that he can't get into some RPGs because the side quests just seem like, oh, it's just a task of go kill these things or go gather these things. But it's like each side quest has a proper story to it. And you can dig into, like, why you're doing this.
Every side quest has a small story. I think even the treasure hunts have a bit of a story.
Yeah, like they have, like, notes of, like, this is where the treasure is. Yeah, this, like, is why it was buried here. Like, it's really cool and super immersive. And also in 4K, the game is fucking beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, it is a harder RPG. Like, that's what The Witcher's known for kicking your ass.
Oh, yeah.
Even on normal difficulty, I have trouble, but it's super rewarding because you actually have to, like, think, all right, he's going to attack me, I'm going to dodge, and then counterattack. Like, it's really cool. It's such a great game.
Okay.
You're Sorry. Playing with your watch again,
aren't you? No, I'm not. That was actually unintentional that time. I noticed it was in Zach's face, so I'm trying to get it away. Are you good?
Yeah.
Sorry. All right, my pick. Is Justice League of America, issue 1, Rebirth. Steve Orlando. Ivan Reyes. Are you reading it too now?
Oh, yeah.
So,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's fantastic. The entire setup is Batman's like, I only want mortals on this team. Like
I want to make a new Justice League of mortal people instead of gods.
And I have the picture. I have the quotations from the issue. So the team's composed of Batman, Lobo, Black Canary, Vixen, Killer Frost, and Adam. And Bats didn't even want Adam.
It was the Ray.
Oh. And he's like, you're not Ray Palmer. It's like, well, Ray's been missing. I've been trying to find him. It's like, okay, then we're done here. And Lobo's like, whoa.
Lobo just sitting there like, did you write this equation yourself? It's like, yeah, it's like, if we don't get Ray Palmer, kid's the next best thing. Look at this shit.
Yeah.
Like, normal humans should not be able to do this.
And Batman goes on. It's like, each member has a specific purpose. He's like, Vixen, I want you on the team because you're going to be what holds us together. Killer Frost, I want you on this team because you want to redeem yourself. Black Canary, you're the only one that's going to match up against any of us.
Like, you're the one who's there to keep us straight, which, fun fact, was Green Arrow's purpose in Justice League Unlimited.
Yep.
Dino Ollie for life!
Batman even goes on to say, it's like, we're going to be the Justice League of America established in Happy Harbor.
Hey.
Which was an old base of the Justice League, so they're keeping all of that old continuity. And it said, heroism is a community, and it starts with the Justice League of America. And I'm like, oh, that's so badass.
Thank you, Steve Orlando.
Steve Orlando is still the king of badass dialogue. And he goes on, the next issue has events that are going to happen in the future, and it shows the Ray fighting Lobo. It shows Killer Frost fighting against someone who calls her sister, so she's probably on Themyscira. We have Batman possibly fighting a Gorgon, maybe, because he has a shield. And then we have Ryan Choi finding Ray Palmer, allegedly.
And the Batman shield one, there's a little quote that says, the last person who wielded that shield against me
died holding it.
Yeah.
And it says Liberty on the shield, so it's like, oh, what's this about?
Who is this?
Yeah, Steve?
All right, mine... I had so many good ones that I wanted to pick, but
Justice League and Red Hood.
I'm gonna go. Kind of not a shocker, Justice League and Power Rangers.
I'll get it
since I'm closest. So,
I loved this issue because it's setting everything up. It's, you know, getting the Power Rangers and the Justice League to team up together. You know, figuring out they're not enemies.
Hi, Adam.
Yeah.
Get over here. I can get you on the mic real quick while we close up the podcast.
The last 5 minutes of the episode.
So we're getting the Justice League and Power Rangers realizing they're not each other's villains and teaming up.
Will you please pull over your pterodactyl?
You have Superman flying up to Kimberly saying, Miss, I'm going to need you to land your pterodactyl. Which, again, I never thought I'd ever see Superman saying that.
Hello, Adam.
To a Power Ranger.
Hi.
Joining us for the last 5 minutes.
I literally walked in on hearing something about a pterodactyl. I am definitely on point with
you. You got Justice League and Power Rangers teaming up together. And in the last issue, they didn't know they were both heroes. So Kimberly swoops down and her pterodactyl picks up Batman and starts flying away. And you got Superman flying next to her, goes up to the cockpit like, Miss, I'm going to need you to land your flying pterodactyl robot.
Okay.
Like, all right. Cool.
That sounds epic.
And then you got Lord Zedd, who is in this weird little society of people, makes himself grow gigantic. Turns out he was in a Brainiac capsule. And now Lord Zedd and Brainiac are teaming up together. And Lord Zedd is offering up Angel Grove to Brainiac for his collection.
That's pretty awesome.
Cool.
And originally, I thought Teen Titans and Power Rangers would have been a better matchup, but this has been a really interesting story arc.
Oh, and Lord Zedd also turned Brainiac's people into monsters. Or
putties?
No. He took some of his collection and turned them into giant monsters. So now the Justice League is going to go fight monsters around the globe and probably going to get the Megazord too.
Sweet.
Adam, what's your opinion on Power Rangers? Because I'm just like, okay, whatever.
I'm kind of in the same boat. No okay, disrespect. Good. I'm not alone. When I grew up, I never really watched that much Power Rangers.
So thank God. Kinda, I'm not the only one.
I feel lame.
No, I'm the one who's just like, ugh, can we please not talk about Power Rangers?
Yeah, we had like 2 pieces of Power Rangers news this week, and Zach's I'm just life like, faded from his eyes.
Please end.
You just see the glossing over, just, ugh.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. I just stare here, and like, I'll search something.
The numbing begins.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to wrap up, because today we're going to build some D&D characters.
Woo!
And learn how to play.
Synchronized audio. Did that really just happen?
That was nice.
I mean, Steve, dude, that was awesome.
So, thank you guys, as always, for listening to the Z2 Podcast. You can find us everywhere. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, our YouTube channel, and our very own website, all using Z2 Podcast. You can even email us with z2podcasts@gmail.com. And you can be part of the conversation. We have a Twitter. We have the Facebook. We have our email. And you can always email us questions that you might want to hear us talk about. Last week, we talked about the Machete Order of Star Wars, brought to you by our friend Jim.
Once again.
And how the order has even been more convoluted as of late because of everything visually.
Everything else going on.
Yeah. So thanks, guys, for listening. Always, we're building up to our new year. We're on episode 49?
48.
48. So 4 more weeks until our 1 year anniversary. So make our 1 year anniversary that much more special by giving us a 5-star rating. Also, make sure that you check out Riverdale. Make sure you check out Champions. And if you haven't played it yet, I guess you can play Witcher or something.
If you want an RPG that will immense you for hours on end.
Or 5 days and you're still not even halfway done with the story.
And take out your special Valentine and go see Lego Batman this week.
Or if you don't have a Valentine, still go see Lego Batman.
Or you can take your special Valentine or yourself and stay at home. Play For Honor coming out February 14th on Xbox One, PS4.
I like how we're just free
or
advertisement.
Just stay home and do nothing.
Stay home and make more D&D.
Happy Single Awareness Day.
No. Yay. The day after is the best, though, man. Half all price chocolates. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Woo!
Take advantage of that shit.
Oh,
Kayla wants a D&D Dungeon Master's Guide for Valentine's Day.
You chose a good one, then.
Yeah.
You chose a winner.
Kayla is
I'm
the
like,
best.
Kayla, I'm sorry. The flowers I ordered you got canceled by the producer, and she's like, can you get me the Dungeon Master Guide instead? I'm like, done.
I got you, babe.
Love you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. And we will see you later. Yes. Love
Bye-bye.
You, Internet.
Peace.
Yep.
Wrong song.